Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about care. We're talking about socialism, capitalism. Capitalism is not an immoral system or a moral system. It's simply an economic system where the means of production remain in the hands of the individual. And you can expand that definition where the means of production can remain in the hands of a corporation, which is simply a gathering of individuals. Now, in state corporations, there's a certain longevity that is not natural to man. It lives from generation to generation because it is a corporate entity and it does not die. It is a golem, and if you want to know what a golem is, you go look that up at Preparing You. It is a creation of mankind. A golem, a corporation, should not have the same position as an individual. It may have the same position as a person, but it should not have the same power of an individual. But most individuals are now persons, so that's another whole matter, and we won't get into that discussion. But capitalism itself means the means of production are in the hands of Adam and Eve and their progeny. And it passes, the means of production passes from generation to generation. Well, the kingdom of heaven passes from generation to generation. The kingdom of heaven is from generation to generation. That's Daniel. He's telling you how it works. Father inherits the means of production from his father, and what he adds to it or takes away. And the son inherits from his father. And it passes from generation to generation. If you inherited slavery from your father, so be it. Now all you need to do is make the Father in heaven your father, and you can be free again. But you may not be able to do that with a piece of paper. May do that only by doing the will of the Father. He who does the will of my Father is my brethren. Teaching of Jesus Christ. You're not doing the will of the Father, you're not the brethren of Christ, and therefore you're not the children of God, and therefore you are not saved, and you are living a delusion. So what is the will of God? Is it the will of God that you covet your neighbor's goods to the agency of men who exercise authority one over the other? No, it is not the will of God to do that. Do most modern Christians do that? Yes, most modern Christians do that. Because modern Christians are not real Christians. Modern Christians are not saved. People who do not seek the benefits of men who exercise authority one over the other, who do not covet their neighbor's goods, are they saved? Not necessarily. Do they care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves? If they do, then they will gather together in a network of care and give life to care by daily practice of charity instead of covetousness, which is what the world does. If you have simply wanted to leave the world but do not want to efficiently, wisely exploit the resources at your disposal for the good of your neighbor as much as for your own good, then you are not a Christian. If you don't do that, you are not a Christian. You are not following Christ. You're not doing what the early church did. The early church formed a network of care, and they applied the morality of Christ to that care. And the Holy Spirit taught them. If you are resisting gathering together, if you're holding back, if you're saying, well, we don't need an organization because you still have not forgiven the organizations of the world. You are still in judgment of the governments of the world. And it, because you're in judgment, you cannot see the importance of gathering together in a network of care. In a well-organized network of care, organized from the ground up, you are resisting the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may have it here, 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 and here, but you're not putting on the full armor of God. So now, what does that mean? Now, some of you will get that, because that's actually spoken to some of you out there, not to all of you. But some of you actually will not get that, which is unfortunate. So, what is government? What is a republic? Well, let's look at the government in general. Government is presently defined. If you look up the word and you look up the definition, if you Google it, government is defined as the governing body of a nation, state, or community. So a community can have a government. Now, what is the government body, governing body of the kingdom of God? Is there a governing body of the kingdom of God? I mean, Jesus appointed a kingdom to the apostles, so are they a governing body? Well, yeah, they're part of that governing body. But they are a community. What is a community? It's people who have a common communion. What is a common communion? Is that where we all get the same wafer of bread laid on our tongue by some priest? No, it's when we share bread from house to house. That's communion. If someone has a need, we fill that need by charity, not by socialism. So here's the word is also defined. There's another definition for the word government. The system by which a nation, state, or community is governed. So the kingdom of God, how is it governed? It's governed through the hearts and minds of the people who gather together in free assemblies to charitably donate to the needs of the whole society. They cast their bread upon the waters of the whole society. They have a choice as to where they cast it, who they cast it to, what altar they laid their donation on. They have all those choices of power. But they are empowering their government servants to serve. That process requires that they care not only about those people who can help them, but those people far away who may not be able to help them. And that is pure care. If you only help those who help you, if you only love those who love you, what grace is there? You want grace, and you will need grace to survive in this world. You have to care about those who cannot or may not be able to help you, which includes the widows and orphans of society, but not just the widows and orphans you know, but the widows and orphans far away. In order to construct a government, a voluntary government, people must voluntarily give to that government. They must, but they are not required to by that government. They are required to by God, who dwelleth in the heart and the minds of men. But God only dwells in the hearts and minds of moral men, men who care, men where care can live in them. This definition of the system by which a nation, state, or community is governed includes the idea of the action or manner of controlling or regulating a nation, organization, or people. What is people? Community. People of that common unity. That common communion. The manner of controlling. How do we control? Well, what if somebody in your congregation stands up and starts hitting people with his Bible, hitting them over the head, knocking them unconscious. What is the manner of control? Are you going to call the police? Are you going to jump on that guy and hold him down and take his Bible away and cast that demon out? What are you going to do? What manner do you do? Is it your responsibility to stop him, or are you going to call somebody else to do it? Well, if you're going to do it, you may need the means by which to do it, so stay in shape. We always knew when we gathered at a local church building here. We don't gather there anymore. Nobody gathers there. We always knew that there was at least one or two people in the crowd that had a gun in their pocket. Everybody knew it. And so we were pretty safe there. Once you have the Holy Spirit dwelling, you're probably safe anywhere. You don't necessarily need a gun all the time, but you can still carry one. And I'll lay you odds, if you're really following the Holy Spirit, you'll carry a gun when you need it. You'll know. The Holy Spirit will say, and the gun. You know, the canoe, the paddle, and the gun. You know, kind of thing. Okay. Not only does it include the action or manner of controlling and regulating a nation, because you're controlling and regulating that guy who went nuts and started hitting people with the Bible, doesn't mean that you're making up rules that everybody has to have a Bible or they get beat up or fined. It means that the rule is you cannot violate the rights of others. And since we care about others as much as we care about ourselves, when we see you violating the rights of others, we're going to step in and stop you, because it's our responsibility. That's how you get your rights back, is take back your responsibilities. Not only to yourself and your family, which is fine. That's great. It's a great start. But to your neighbor. And not just the neighbors that are close by, but the neighbors that are far away. You see how this is progressive? This is progressivism. not the social progressiveness of the socialist who simply wants to take bigger bites out of his neighbor all the time. But it's really progress towards the kingdom of God. That's progressivism too. The progressivism you see is the getting you closer to the kingdom of hell. But anyway, that action and manner also includes the group of people in office at a particular time and an administration. Well, there is an office in the kingdom of God, and Jesus appointed, "I appoint unto you a kingdom, but you are not to be like the princes of the Gentiles, who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other." So we have offices, but they are not offices of authority. They are titular offices, in name only. Now we have absolute, total control over what people choose to freely give us. But we do not have any control over the people themselves. And any control but the natural control that if you start hitting people over the head with your Bible and knocking them unconscious in church, we may be one of the guys who jump on you. But it isn't that we had control over you, it's that you lost control and began to infringe upon the rights of others. And we had a responsibility to stop you. You know, it's like slapping the person. "Thanks, I needed that." We're doing this out of love. Not because we're men of service, men of love, men of care. We assume in our own minds that government is a matter of force by those who govern. But the word govern only means, here's the definition, conduct. The policy, actions, and affairs of a state, organization, or people. Govern is the conduct and policy, the actions and affairs. Paul talks about affairs. He had actions. His action was to take the free will offer of Galatia to Corinth and to redistribute it to the ministers he learned to trust because he saw them doing the work of Christ. This was the affairs of state, the affairs of the kingdom of God. This is what the church should be doing. But most ministers today have a list of social services from the government of the world, who are the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. The church should be taking care of the needs of the people. There should be no need in any true church established by Jesus Christ of anybody going to the government and asking a bankrupt government to borrow money against the lifeblood of their children and grandchildren so that they can have Social Security today, because you have no money in Social Security. There is no money there. It's completely bankrupt. Nobody robbed. I heard Rand Paul the other day talking about borrowing from Social Security. There is no borrowing from Social Security except in your imagination. There is no division of funds. This has been ruled over again from the beginning. No division of funds. All the money in Social Security belongs to the common fund, except in your imagination. If the government is bankrupt, those who the government owes can seize your Social Security. They have a right to it, more than your own right to it. You don't have a right to it. It's a privilege, remember. You're not paying into an account where your money is held on deposit. That is a total delusion. Anybody talking in those terms is fooling you. They are satanic deceivers. So anyway, while government may include rulers, nowhere in these definitions of government is there a ruler required. You can have a ruler, but you don't have to have a ruler over the people. The people may rule, and that's still a government. Anarchy is a government, and anarchy means no ruler. Now, chaos is not a government, but anarchy is not necessarily chaos. In this day and age, most anarchists would produce chaos, because most anarchists are not moral people. At least most of the ones I've come across. I haven't done an entire survey. That's just an estimated sampling of the anarchists that I have seen. Why? Because they care does not live in them. They do not care about one another. You want care to live in you, you have to start caring. If Denmark would start caring about one another and start weaning themselves off of socialism, their rate of suicide would go down. Their rate of depression would go down. They might become the happiest nation in the world. But that's a choice. But it's a choice. You don't have to wait for a common vote to start caring about one another. You have freedom of religion, and religion is the performance of your duty, the pious performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. And you don't know the meaning of the word pious. So go look up religion at Preparing You. Start doing your own research. Start looking up things. This is why we have so many footnotes, so that you can start figuring out what words mean. That once you do that, you can start talking again, instead of the word salads that everybody depends upon now. Because everybody is divided. They're schizophrenic. What if the system by which a nation, state, or community is governed only included people who did not exercise authority or rule over the other? Socialism requires that the collective rule over the collective, over the individual. The individual's rights are now held by the collective instead of the individual. Socialism, by its very nature, is ruling over others. Capitalism doesn't necessarily include ruling over others. It's about choice. You have the choice to decide how you want to use your means of production, your labor. You want to go out and find gold. You get to go out and find gold. Now, if you start a gold mine on a river and it pollutes the river downstream where somebody is taking and drinking water, you have to stop your gold mine. Now, how do we stop the gold mine without government? Well, you stop it by all the people downriver going up to the guy upriver and saying, you got too much mud coming down the river and you're polluting the river. You got to stop that. There are always more people downriver than you. I mean, not always. You might live right on the beach. I don't know. But the point is that people complain. And in the course of this conversation on Facebook, people were complaining, talking about a few people taking advantage, you know, and having the power and control. And that's what capitalism leads to. It only leads to that when the people do not care about one another. Socialism leads to a death of care. And why do rulers want socialism? Because when you stop caring about your neighbor as a matter of practice, they get to rise to power. Corporations rise to power. You know, people talk about unions being the answer. Well, unions are only the answer if people care. Unions without that care become a worse blight than the corporation. I often find unions more in bed with the corporate leaders than they are in bed with the people. And how is it possible? I mean, the people are always electing union leaders who look like they're going to help them, but don't make backroom deals with the company and sell the union workers out. Occasionally they get so blatant you catch them at it. I mean, like recently the presidential election, it was so obvious that certain individuals running for president were selling their influence. I mean, it's right there. I mean, the emails were there, the exposure where people are selling their influence to the highest bidder. And they're selling out the birthright of Americans. Of course, Americans are selling their birthright to these leaders because they're all doing the Saul syndrome thing. They're all looking, they're rejecting God. They're rejecting pure religion in exchange for socialism and a king who's going to set things right for them because they're too lazy. And socialism lends to that, weakens the people so that they cannot throw off a dictator even if they wanted to. You don't have the means of revolution to throw off some ruler who is usurping authority. I see all kinds of people wanting to throw off rulers who actually have the authority that they, you know, there's a lot of people out there, these anarchists who want to say, there is no legitimate authority. Well, that's just not so. You eat at the table of rulers, they are going to get authority over you. If your parents ate at the table of rulers, you're subject. If your parents are on Social Security, you're subject. You want to be unsubject, start caring about others. Don't pretend to be free. Take back your responsibilities, and that means taking back the burden of your responsibilities. Go out, get a job, and support your parents so they don't need Social Security. Now, you can't force them to stop taking it, but you can say, I have a house for you. I have a place for you because I've gone out and earned the money. I paid Caesar, but I have earned so much money, I have money left over to help you. And you don't need to take that. Now, they may still take that, but that's their choice. But at least you can say they didn't take that from Caesar because their son didn't provide for them or their daughter didn't provide for them. Because that's caring. That's why you were to honor your father and your mother. Because it teaches you care. It gives life to care. Socialism kills care. That's why you have so many orphans in Soviet Union. So many alcoholics in the Soviet Union. I mean, they subsidize the production of vodka to keep the people pacified. In the United States, we have pharmaceutica. You know, all kinds of everything from Ritalin to Prozac to, you know, I mean, I don't even, Lexol. I mean, the list of drugs are ridiculous. But you should be addicted to righteousness. And you can't get addicted to it till you start consuming it, start being a part of it, start care. And this is why you need a network of people who care about one another as much as they care about themselves. If you don't do that, you shall not be free. You shall not get your rights back. You should not get your rights back. Because you don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. You don't care enough about your neighbor to gather together in a network of care. You do not want to follow Christ. Because Christ created a network that cared. What do you think he needed the donations of Susanna and others? You know, the house of, Chuka? These wealthy, wealthy people, why were they so that he could camp out, you know, along the Sea of Galilee? I mean, he could go fishing and make more money. Why did he need all this money that they were giving him? Because they were setting up a network of care. Why were they, he hailed so much just because he, these miracles? Because everybody in Jerusalem saw him creating a social welfare system that actually was taking care of one another and did not need the social welfare system of Herod. That's why you had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people opting out of the social security system that had been set up by Herod and the Pharisees and opting into a social welfare system set up by Jesus Christ that operated by free will donations, where the leaders did not exercise authority one over the other, but were titular in name only. They exercised authority over what was given them and rightly divided the bread from house to house, working daily in the temple, which was a government building, because they were the government of God, the kingdom of God at hand, which you have no part in because you have no daily ministration except by the men who exercise authority one over the other, which you call government, because you've abandoned the government of God for the imaginary false religion of men. You need to repent, turn around, go the other way. Give life to care. Because that is what the evil dictators of the world fear the most. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So in continuing this discussion, we've moved from capitalism to government, and people think that government has to do with ruling over others, which it does not. They also think that capitalism is somehow immoral, when it's only, which is like saying guns are immoral. Capitalism is simply a tool by which the, and it's not even a tool, it's simply where you realize the means of production of the individual is primary, and that is his labor. If he produces something with his labor, he has a proper right to that thing now, because his sweat and toil is invested in that thing. Now, that is some resource that he now has a right to. And that right may, you know, like if two people work on an orchard or grow one single tree, both of them have a right to that tree. They have a proportionate right to that tree. Now, that right exists. It may be up to men to figure out where to draw that line. And that's where it comes into the courts. Say, one of them say, well, starts taking most of the apples. He says, well, I did most of the work. And he says, but we agreed that we would divide the apples and we would have this mutual work on it. And I don't know that you did do most of the work. And so they have a disagreement. Now they can go to their neighbor and say, we have a disagreement. Will you help? We cannot settle this. We keep arguing and arguing. We cannot settle this agreement. If we present the case to you, they go to a neighbor who they think is wise and intelligent and says, will you adjudicate this issue? Okay, he says. Now, he now has the power to judge, and he can say adjudicated arbitrarily or adjudicated by contract. In other words, if by arbitration, then I just simply try to talk you guys into the agreement, maybe both with respect. But if you say, no, whatever you decide, we will go by. Now you have a contract with the judge. And the judge will decide what is fair. And he has a right to do that because you gave him that right to do that in this one case. Now, what's happened in the world today is because you've given the responsibility to government to take care of your parents, instead of you honoring your parents, you're going to have the government take care of your parents. Instead of you parents educating you, they go to the government and say, you educate my children. Instead of the parents connecting the dots and being the Social Security of their family and their family being the Social Security of their parents, you have gone to the government and say, you do that. Because you put all these responsibilities on the government, they get to decide whether or not you can get by with not wearing or having to wear a safety belt or all these other things. You've already given them the power to judge because you gave them the responsibility of securing your life, of providing for you, of providing for your parents, of providing for your children. You have prayed to the government, and what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. You are snared. You are in bondage. You don't like it. Change your ways. Start caring about one another. That's the way it works. You can't just fill out a piece of paper and get free. You can't just say, I demand my rights back. Because they have rights to you. Because you gave them the responsibility, and your parents gave them the responsibility, and your grandparents gave them the responsibility. This is what happened in Israel, or in Egypt. Israel gave Egypt the responsibility of feeding Israel. And so Israel was now subject to Egypt. And they continued that process, and it got worse and worse and worse until they cried out. But God would not hear them until they began to care about one another. God will not hear you. You will not have the grace of God because you say you believe. You must be a doer of the word. He who doeth the will of my Father. Are you taking care of the needy in your society by faith, hope, and charity? No? Well, then don't expect to be free. Don't expect the grace of God. Don't expect the protection of God. Don't expect the pillar of fire to stand between you and the armies of Pharaoh. Because when they find out that you're beginning to care, they will try to kill you. Just like they kill Care in the Bohemian Grove. Yeah, if you guys don't know, look, Google Bohemian Grove. I mean, there's all kinds of videos up that show that. I mean, it's kind of a distraction and a red herring. The problem is not them. The problem is you. You can't change them anyway. So it's good news to know that the problem is you. Because you can change them. Somebody said, Malik said, dictators do not climb the ranks. They forcefully seize power from other dictators, also amassing more power and bureaucrats. Now, they actually do, in a sense, climb the ranks. And the dictators that they are amassing power from is your neighbor. Your neighbor wants to force you to provide for his child's education. He wants to force you to provide for his Social Security. He wants to force you to provide for the police and the courts and all these other things through taxation. It's all the millions, the 300 million little dictators in America that will elect the dictator of the United States. That is because they live by the nature of the dictator. They dictate to their neighbor. They are fine with coveting their neighbor's goods. It may be a little thing. And they always excuse it. Well, I pay. They don't pay. Well, the individual who homeschools his kids, he pays too. He often pays for your kids and his kids. And it requires sacrifice. But that willing sacrifice of Christ, loving, you know, people always, these guys are always going around wanting to oppress their wives and force their wives. And I'm the master of the household and you are to be subject to me, blah, 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 blah. That isn't the way it works. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He sacrificed himself. How do you love your family? You sacrifice yourself for your family. How do you love your neighbor? You sacrifice yourself for your neighbor. What you see in the socialist world of today, the progressive world of today, is they want to sacrifice their neighbor for the poor. You got rich people out there, Whoopi Goldberg out there, going around wanting everybody to, you know, be a socialist nation. She's filthy rich. She's not like Christ. You know, look at all these preachers out there. They were poor and they made themselves rich off of false religion. They don't take care of the needy. They take care of themselves. And you think they're ministers of God? Are you crazy? They are not ministers of God. They are the synagogue of Satan. All these preachers out there that live high on the hog off of other people, they should come out and live with us for a while. Find out what real life is all about. Somebody was talking about, the capitalist has an obligation to have safety standards. And the person explained that because to prevent lawsuits. Because he actually said somewhere that, you know, the capitalist is not required to love his employee. We're required by God to love our neighbor, to even love our enemy. So yes, a capitalist, not by capitalism, isn't required to love. But we are already, by the law of nature, required to love our neighbor. Because as we judge, so shall we be judged. It's already built into the system. So yes, if you want to be loved, if you want to receive and exploit, it's one thing to dig a hole in the ground and exploit nature. It's another thing to exploit your neighbor. You have a built-in obligation to love your neighbor. So the exploitation cannot be abusive. You have a right to choose to be abusive, but you will not get away with that. So you have a responsibility to love your employee and to create safety standards, not to prevent lawsuits. That's incorrect. And you know, I think the guy is maybe genuine. He just has to think these things out a little better. Because the employee is the means of production, and you are to dress the means of production and keep it, not destroy it. So you should not be destroying nature when you are exploiting nature. You should certainly not be destroying the employee when you're exploiting the employee's ability to produce. You should be dressing and keeping the employee, keeping him healthy, keeping him thriving, keeping his sense of responsibility growing in him, because he will do you a better job. I mean, that's one reason. But it's built into the system that you have to care about him as much as you care about the product that you're producing. That's built in. Now, it's not part of the definition of capitalism, but it's part of the definition of nature, because nature, the law of nature, is defined as divine will. And we have plenty of evidence that as you judge, so shall you be judged. We have plenty of evidence that you are to care about one another. And that is essential. Somebody, Guy Weissman, was saying a number of things. I was going to look and see if I could see where he said it here. But anyway, he quotes this one thing, small groups of amoral people who control. He refers to them because he sees that as what capitalism is producing. Well, actually, what is producing that is the socialism that has been creeping in for over 100 years in America. That has been creating an amoral people who are in control. It isn't capitalism that created that. But what really created that is the result of everyone else who only are caring about themselves. And I told him to go watch Bug's Life because, you know, they're a perfect example. Everybody cared about, you know, their little niche, their little responsibility, and the grasshoppers got power. And all the time, the power was in the hands of the ants, but the grasshoppers had power because the ants were only concerned about their little niche, what I'm carrying, my little place in the line. They didn't care about the other ants as much as they cared about their little place in the line of things. Once they realized that they were the ones in control, and they came together and worked together, then they had the power again. Which is why you need a network of people who are practicing care on a daily basis. And a daily, you don't just give when you see somebody in need. You give, you give, you give. The heart doesn't beat simply when you're awake. It even beats when you're asleep. It beats when you're resting. It is supplying the needs of the whole body when you're doing nothing, when there is no need. That's the only way to have a healthy body. So in that network of congregations, you have to give regularly, consistently, and not just to help those that are immediately in front of you, but those that are far away. It is our move towards socialism for decades now that has bound society. You know, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. If we were caring about one another, there would be no small group of amoral people who control. The majority would not. You don't even need the majority to succeed at this. You know, Christians were only about 5% of the Roman Empire. Now, there were people who supported the Christians and defended the Christians, who extended beyond what you would call a Christian. But if 5% of the United States were actually real Christians, really following Christ, really gathering together, not forsaking the gathering together, but giving on a daily basis, becoming the entire social welfare system of their community, their Christian community, you would see a vast shift in all of society, and there would be hope again in the land. I have the hope because I see things far off. But you're not there now. And if you will not gather together in a network that cares, you're not going to get there. This one Ben fellow, he lacks the education due to sloth. I told him my children were home taught. And they're all very successful. And many of my grandchildren are home taught. Or some of them, I wouldn't say all of them. But hopefully some of this will carry over. They're not abandoned. None of my grandchildren have been abandoned by their parents. But the fact is public education does not advance society. It is actually holding society back. And if you go read our Schools as Tools article, you'll see that what has infested public education, and it's not Common Core, long before Common Core, because this individual says, I don't even like Common Core. It isn't Common Core. Common Core is just another step, you know, off the edge. We went a long ways away from what is righteous. Long ways back, you know, a century ago. And we showed some of the process back in 1908 and certainly during the First and Second World War, how education was changed. And long after I got out of school, I never went to public school, but long after I got out of the educational system, they stopped teaching history. Why do you think they stopped teaching history? Because if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes of history, and they were at the point where they wanted you to repeat the mistakes of history, and one of those mistakes is socialism. Now, you cannot change the course of history. You cannot change the course of the world. And I use that word in the sense that Jesus used it when he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." It is in the sense of constitutional orders and systems of government. You cannot change their course. You can change your course, because you don't have the right to rule over them. They get to go the way they want to go, but you can change your course, and you can start gathering together with other people who want to change their course, and you can work out your salvation together in a community of people with fear and trembling, and then God will be there for you. If you choose not to do that, if you choose to exclude yourself, if you choose to isolate yourself and forsake the gathering together, if you choose to only give to those who you love and love you, you will not have the grace of God. That's the teachings of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. If you continue to isolate yourself and think that because you think a thought that you are saved, you will continue to be unsaved and not know the difference. And it's a struggle. You have to fast from judgment. You have to fast from anger. You have to fast from fear. You have to fast from the desire, the temptation to control others, to manipulate others, to dictate to others. You have to lay your soul bare and let God in. If you are full of your own personal doctrines and judgments and private interpretations of the Bible, how in the world is the Holy Spirit going to get in and guide you? You have to empty your heart of all your judgment and ambition and, you know, I mean, your unrighteous ambition. I mean, your only ambition must be to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can't just seek the kingdom of God. You have to seek his righteousness. And it is righteous that you care about your neighbor. In order to efficiently care about your neighbor, you have to gather together in a network. Otherwise, you'll have guys going from congregation to congregation, and you'll be supporting them as they leech off of you. And then when you finally find out who they are, I mean, if you know, the grace of God will give you wisdom you did not even know existed. But you don't have grace until you care about people you don't even know exist. Christ came down, he didn't have a list of everybody's name. He came down to care about you, to sacrifice himself for you. You're not coming in the name of Christ unless you gather in congregations that come together to care. If you gather in a congregation because it makes you feel good, that's wrong. That's not, Christ didn't come to feel good. That's not gathering in the name of Christ. If you're looking for a religious experience, an emotional experience, you know, with organ music, they're not looking for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're looking for a feeling. You can't do that. You got to give that up. Fast from that desire, that addiction to false religion. Start finding pure religion. Start taking care of one another. And first, that means taking care of yourself. When you go to the church and you need help, your quest should be, how can you guys help me help myself? And one of the ways they can do that is to get you to start helping others. And in that process of caring, this is why God created the family. Father and the mother have the burden of the children. This changes your thinking. You know, we have ministers, well, we have ministers who have had children, and they're not really providing all the support for that child that they should be. And they're missing out on something because they're not attending to something. We have had ministers who haven't had children. And they are crippled by the fact that they haven't had children. Now, they can overcome these difficulties with the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of, which is a spirit of service. But having to take care of a family produces a certain mindset. Having to have your own business and take care of a family produces a more of that same mindset. Having to educate your children yourself and have a business and support your family and be the total health care provider of your family and take care of others in your community changes you. It alters you. Socialism changes you. And every time you dabble in socialism, have somebody else take care of your parents, have somebody else take care of your neighbor, have somebody else come to the aid of your neighbor when he's being robbed or abused, or robbed in the courts. Not showing up for others, not thinking that you don't have to show up for others, that you don't have to expend the energy of loving your neighbor, changes you. One for the better, one for the worse. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Gather together. See you in the network. Till then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.